everybody. Welcome to Trish News. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so excited that you're here with us today. Caleb, what do you got?
Have you decided to follow Jesus but don't know what your next step is? Well, your next step is water baptism. Water baptism is a way that you show that you have committed your life to following Jesus. It's an outward expression of an inward change. This is why the Bible tells us that it's through baptism that we are participating in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus and have not been baptized, we highly encourage you to do so. For more information, or if you'd like to sign up, you can visit the Welcome Center in the lobby.
We are having a church picnic at the Bakkens Park on May 18th, right after church service. This will not only be a wonderful time of fellowship, but it will also be a time to celebrate that our church is debt-free. We will be providing all the hamburgers, but we are asking you and your family to provide a dish or a dessert to share. We are looking forward to seeing you there.
Spring is here, which means it's time to start planting our annual church garden. Every year, we grow fresh produce to bless our community with. If you like gardening or you just want to help, we need you. This year, the amount of help we get from you guys will determine if we have the garden. So, if you'd like to sign up, you can visit the Welcome Center out in the lobby.
Are you interested in becoming a member of Only Believe? Well, we want to invite you to Growth Track that happens every first Sunday of each month, right after church service. This is a time where you learn about the vision and the history of Only Believe Church, and there will be lunch and childcare provided. If you would like to sign up, you can head on out to that Welcome Center in the lobby and get signed up there, or you can scan the QR code on the screen.
Here at Only Believe, we believe that strong marriages are the backbone of healthy families, and healthy families are the backbone of a healthy church. This is the heart behind our small group, Marriage is Us. This small group meets on the second Sunday of every month at 9 a.m. in the loft and is specifically designed for couples of all ages who are looking for ways to strengthen their marriage. For more information, or if you have any questions, you can stop by the Welcome Center in the lobby.
God's house is a house of prayer, and that is why we do First Saturday Prayer. First Saturday Prayer is where we gather together at the beginning of each month to pray for all that the Lord may want to do in us and through us. First Saturday Prayer consists of worship, an encouraging word, personal prayer, and corporate prayer. And we would love to see you there each month for First Saturday Prayer.
We are in week two of our series, The Six Basic Doctrines. And last week, Pastor Nicole laid the foundation by reminding us that our foundation is and should be in Christ alone. This week, we're continuing the series by diving deeper into the essential beliefs that shape who we are as followers of Jesus. These six basic doctrines are vital for building a strong, lasting faith. And don't forget, those invite cards on the pews next to you make it super easy to invite someone to join you for church. These invite cards can change someone's life.
And if you have any questions or if you want information on anything we just touched on, you can head on out to that Welcome Center and they will get all your questions answered. Now, let's prepare our hearts and our minds as we dive into God's Word and continuing our series, The Six.
Hello, hello, good morning. Guys, I can't express how excited I am about what God's doing in our church. Amen? I'm so glad to be a part of a church family that doesn't just hear the Word of God, but we hear and we believe and we do what it says, and it changes everything in our lives. Amen? Amen. All right, well, let's pray before we get started. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, I just thank you, God, that you would anoint the words of my mouth today. Father, that as the Holy Spirit would breathe through me today and speak words of life. Father, that it would change the hearts of those listening. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we would apply that which we hear today. And Father, that we would trust you in every area of our lives. And Father, I just ask you, I feel some people hurting. I feel some people hurting here today. Father, I just thank you, Father, that you are the God that sees who we are. You know where we're at. You know everything that we're going through. God, I just ask that you would just take your finger and just touch that situation today, right now. Touch your neighbor. Touch your neighbor. I just want to just pray right now that God would just do something in their lives today. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Spirit use you. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the healer of all things, that you bring comfort and you bring peace. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're moving in and around the midst right now, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes. I literally just saw Jesus walking down these aisles looking to touch. All you have to do is reach out and touch him. He is there. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I'm going to let you do what you do. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. So we've began our series on the six basic doctrines. And we learned last week that the word elementary does not mean simple or less important, but it means it's the place where we start. It's a place that we begin building. And we learned that you and I are not meant to build on anything but Christ and Christ alone. And when we build on these beginning doctrines, that we're not meant to stay in the place of beginning, but we're meant to learn and mature onto bigger things, right? It doesn't mean these aren't significant. It means they're not the place we're supposed to stop in our relationship with Christ. We must be careful who we allow to build on top of our foundation. And you know, I was considering this last week. I know we talked about this a little bit, but I want to be sure. This is a really great guide to learning who should or who should not give something into your life that you take and you build upon. And this is what it is. If it does not have the gifts or the fruits of the Spirit involved in it, if it is not full of love and it's full of hate, if it's not full of joy, kindness, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, and self-control, and that person that is sowing into your life and trying to put bricks and mortar into what you believe, and if it's not done in love, if it's not done in any of those nine fruits, then they're not exemplifying the fruits of the Spirit, the proof that the work of the Holy Spirit is evident in their life, then do not take what they say and put it in your foundation. Do not. That's your number one determining factor, okay? Number one. We're only going to do just one because that's nine of them in one, okay? So there you go. Acts 17:11 says that the people searched the scriptures daily to know that what the people were saying to them, the apostles, was true. You know what? You should not take my word for this. You should be going home and looking at the scripture and making sure that it's really in the Bible and it's God's word. And that only comes through a daily relationship with Christ. That's what truly solidifies the doctrine of Christ in your life. Without knowing the word, you'll never be able to rightfully judge according to the scripture. I know that sounds like a really big ask. This is why the number one vision we have for you as a believer in this church is that you would know God. Not know about him, not know he created the universe, not know that he's this God up there bigger than life, that you would know him. Right? All right, so let's get into it. Let's turn to Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. We'll start out today, same place we started last week. It says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Okay, those are the six basic doctrines. Now, some of your Bibles may say, we're going to start on the first one, repenting from dead works or from evil works. Some of your Bibles say dead works. Some of them say evil deeds, action of evil deeds. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to be honest with you. It can mean more than just one thing. However, if we want to know the initial basis and the meaning of what was being said, then we have to understand the writer of Hebrews. Because if you don't put into context who the writer was writing to, then you'll miss the whole program. Okay? I'm not even going to go there. The reason is this. So the book of Hebrews is about the author writing to a group of Jewish Christians. Jewish Christians. With the knowledge of the Old Testament, which was the law. These people didn't have the Holy Spirit in their life to tell them right from wrong. They had it written on paper only. So you know that small inkling you get in your heart when you do something wrong, you say something you shouldn't, the Holy Spirit goes, uh-uh-uh. They didn't have that. They had the law. So if the law didn't tell them right from wrong, they didn't know. But the law was a symbolism of right and wrong. It was all pushing towards the new covenant, which was Jesus. Jesus was going to come. He was going to die for our sins. And the old law, or the sacrificial way we used to do it, put the lamb on the altar, put the bull on the altar, sacrifice the goat because we got to cover our sins. That law was done away with and fulfilled by Christ. Christ became the sacrifice. So we didn't need bulls. We don't need goats. This is why we're not killing chickens in here or whatever they did. We don't do that anymore, right? Lambs, yeah, whatever it was. I think they did doves. They did all kinds of stuff back then. But there was a better way in the new covenant, and it was one not based on works, because you couldn't be good enough, but based on God's grace by sending Jesus, who was good enough. See, he was writing, the writer was trying to get us to grab a hold of faith. Faith in Christ, not faith in what we could do to be a good person, but faith in Christ, who was the good person, who was the only one that never sinned. This is why Jesus says, I am the only way, the truth, and the life. Meaning, if you don't go through Jesus to get to heaven, you're not going to heaven. Did you hear that? But there's something in there for us as Gentiles too. See, I'm not a Jew. I don't practice Jewish traditions. Why? Because I'm not a Jew. How about that? I'm a Gentile, and that's okay. The cross made room for me. It came for all. It came for the slaves. It came for the free. It came for the Jew, who is God's chosen people, but it came for the Gentile, and now I am God's chosen person. So are you. We don't have to live according to that way anymore. Let me clarify. This will help us. What is repentance of dead works? Repentance, the word repentance. It means to change the way we think about something. It means to turn away from and go the opposite direction towards what is right. When I repent from something that's wrong, it means I turn around and I go the opposite way and go back to what is right. Okay? It means I turn away from things that are offensive to God. Not offensive to man, offensive to God. You know, the world has a lot of things that are not offensive anymore. A lot of things. The world tells me that two girls kissing is okay. The Bible tells me two girls kissing is them giving over to their sinful lusts, and they're going against the natural way God designed. The world tells us that pornography is okay, as long as, you know, you think about your wife. No, it's not. Come on, get a hold of your mind. What the world is saying is right is not what God is saying is right. And you and I have to be sure that we're walking according to God's will and not a mixture of God's will in an American way. Just preaching right to you, right? We're all called to repent. Yes, if we have not yet believed, but also if we miss the mark or we fall away from. That's what the Bible tells us. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 John, the second chapter, 1 and 2. Here's what it says. It says, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. So he's not talking to anyone else but children who are already saved and born again. Is that right? Because you're not a child of God if you're not born again, right? But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, one who pleads our case before the Father. Now, if I was never needed to repent again, then why would I need an advocate? Why? Because I might make a mistake. But if anyone does, he is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sin. And not only our sins, but for the sins of the world. Now, Jesus was our atoning sacrifice. Here's a big old mix-up scripture. For my past, for my present, and for my future sins. That just simply means not that you needn't repent for your past, present, or future sins, but that you needn't an atonement any longer. The cross is a finished work. Christ went to the cross. He went once, and once did it for all past, present, and future sins. But that does not mean that if I miss the mark or fall away, that I needn't come back to Christ and ask for forgiveness and receive the atonement that was done once that's forever available for me and for you, right? I'm just saying it. In Revelation 2, 4 through 6, if you have not read the book of Revelation, you should. You want to know why? Because in the first two verses, it tells us that if we do read the book of Revelation, you will be blessed. There you go. That was free. For all of you that need blessing, just read the book of Revelation. You're blessed. But it goes through the seven churches. And the writer is telling us that God is not happy with the church. In fact, it says, the angel of the Lord tells the church to consider how far they have fallen. And then it says, repent and do the things you did at first. Now, why would the writer tell us as a church to repent if repentance was one time only and you never needed to repent again? Do you understand why knowing the doctrine of repentance is so important? Because I'm going to show you why it's necessary that we live a life of repentance. Now, back to the dead work thing. I had to go there because if you don't, then you just don't do it, right? The issue is that these dead works were involved with the enemy, or the devil would try to get them to go back. So go to Galatians. Let's go to Galatians 5:1 through 5. And this will explain the dead works. It says, so Christ has truly set us free. The death of Christ. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Not don't get tied up in slavery to sin. He's telling us don't go back to the Old Testament and get hung up on all those do's and don'ts. I need you to come over. It says, listen, exclamation mark. That wasn't listen. Listen! Exclamation mark. I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, for all of you that might not know, there was a circumcision. If you were in sin and needed a new way with God, there was a covenant that once there was repentance, an atonement, there was a circumcision. Yes, you're right. Just what you think it is. Little three-day-old boys. Yes, that's exactly what it was. How would you like to miss the mark and be circumcised 9 times in your life? There you go. I'm glad the laws broke for all of you men out there. Circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. In other words, if you think the old way is still the way, then Christ is going to be no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses or the Old Testament. But if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have not have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised us. So see, we're told here that we're not supposed to go back into the Jewish law, into the way of the law. And yes, this was written to Jewish Christians, but you and I as a believer must identify that you and I are not supposed to go the way of the law, but look towards Christ as our grace. Do you understand that you and I are not enough? We cannot do good enough. We cannot try harder to arrive so that God will love us. God loves me because he loved his son and sent him for you and I. And because I believed in that son and the cross, I now receive every benefit that the son did. It's mine. I'm favorable even when I mess up. You realize that? I'm righteous not because I'm perfect. I'm righteous because Jesus was perfect and he took my payment. He paid my price for sin. This is why I can now come boldly to God. In fact, Romans, this is the thing. We get mixed up when we think that our works is what we're doing. It's not. Listen, 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we repent and confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive our sins, right? We have to walk into that and embrace it. It's time we stop living from a place of work. See, some people come to church because it's the right thing to do. Some people come to church and they mix faith when they come into the church and they say, what I hear today, I'm going to hear it and I'm going to do it. Even though I don't think I can live that life, I know that Christ proved to me he could. And because he did, so can I. See, it's not that we read the Bible and we just start doing better. No. It's that we read the Bible and it becomes life. Life for this flesh. And it begins to demand a change. And the Holy Spirit in me begins to push the work out. I cannot work my way to heaven. By the way, any denominations that are telling you you can buy your way there is a liar. Anyone telling you that you can buy a loved one out of hell is a liar. Anyone that's telling you you have to pay in order for this next degree of knowledge to come to you, they're a liar. God said the good news is free. It's free in everything. It is free. It will set you free. His word is truth. It is free indeed. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. So that is the dead works that we're repenting from. We as Gentiles can get caught up. Anything, listen to me, this is simple. This is dead works. Forget the law, forget all of it. Anything you do in your life that does not have faith in it is a dead work. Anything. You know what? I can keep my house as perfectly clean as I want, and it makes everyone feel good. But you know what? I'm going to heaven, and I'm not going to be judged on how clean I kept my house. It's a dead work, and no one cares. Not important. Not important. It's all going to burn up. It's going to burn up. It's not of anything solid in God's kingdom, and it doesn't have any denominational value to it at all. You want to know another dead work? Your money. Your money. It's a dead work. Can't take it with you. You're not going to get credit for how many storehouses you had in heaven. You're going to get credit for that which you invested into the kingdom way. Because God's not looking for a monetary money in kingdom heaven. That's not it. He's looking for what you did with your faith. Did you believe in Christ and the sacrifice? And did you obey what he asked you to do in spite of not believing you were good enough to do it? Because about that time, when you hit your finger with that hammer and you think you can't not cuss, all of a sudden the name of Jesus comes out of your mouth and not a cuss word. You want to know why? Because Jesus never cussed. It's because of what he did, not because of what I did. You get it? I'm telling you, you cannot be a better person even if you try. And if you are a good person, good people don't make it to heaven. People that believe in Jesus and accept what he's given are the ones who make it to heaven. Amen? Amen. Just because you're in church, don't make it. All right, so that's dead works. Let's go on to another meaning of what that can mean. And here's what it is. I'm going to tell you. It's repentance from acts that lead to death. That's what it can mean too. Repentance from deeds or actions that lead you to death. Romans tells us that the wages of sin is death. There's no way around it. If you sin in this life and you don't accept God's placement for your life, you don't allow Jesus on the cross to pay for the sins that you committed and ask him to forgive you and to wash you clean of all these sins, the ultimate end for you is a life without Christ and death. Death. You understand that? Christ came to give us life and give us life more abundantly. But the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. God's not bad. Devil's not good. It's real simple, okay? 1 John 1:9 says that if you and I confess our sins, he is faithful and just to purify us from all unrighteousness. Is that not true what the word said? Let's continue in Galatians, same chapter you were in. I want you to go to the 19th verse. Okay, because this is what the scripture is talking about when it talks about acts of death. There we go. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, and outbursts of anger, self-ambition, dissension and division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties or orgies, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this means people who act like this and have no care to repent. They don't want to turn from their evil deeds. But sometimes, once we're born again, our flesh has been programmed to desire these evil things. Do you hear me? And don't act like you're all perfect, because that's not true. Because that one right there that said outbursts of anger, guilty, all of you. Guilty, all of you. Don't even act like it not. How about this one? Quarreling. Oops. I can live in your marriage this week and tell you someone quarreled because we did. That's life.
We did?
Well, yeah. See, never even remembers. That's all right. A woman's memory never forgets. But I have forgiven. It's fine. Jealousy, self-ambition. How about dissension? You didn't disagree with someone and think, well, my way's better than your way. Think that you've been enlightened and you get the whole program of what's happening on in America. And then these people don't know what's happening in America. They just stuck their head in the sand. Because I've heard it all. Trust me. We have dissension or factions of people that we put together. These people believe this. These people believe this. And we don't. Oh, please. God says that's selfish ambition. Stop. Stop it. Because that type of behavior does not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you want to inherit the kingdom of God? Then we must understand what's really wrong in order to know what God says is right, so that we can repent from it, turn away from that thinking, and come into the right will of our Father. Amen. And become the children of God. Not in part, but in fullness. In fullness. I notice that it says, if we confess our sins. Well, why wouldn't someone want to confess their sin? Pride? You think you're right? Do you know sin is really nothing more than a lack of faith in God to do what the word says? Do you realize that if your mouth is still full of bitterness, anger, and malice towards people, that really you don't believe that you'll pay a price for that? You just think God's going to let it slide when you get to heaven. That's not true. That's a lack of faith in the Word of God. Do you realize that the world tells us adultery's okay? The world tells us that, you know, sometimes marriage needs to be spiced up and you need to go outside of your marriage in order to realize what you really have back at home. That's the biggest lie I've ever heard. That's like telling me I need to drive a Cadillac to see I appreciate my Pinto. Not true. It was not a good analogy. It was a joke. What I'm saying is the Word of God says that it's wrong. But somewhere, the world has taught you and I to wink, or that God winks at sin. He don't wink at sin. It appalls him. And he's looking for a church that is without spot and is without blemish. And it doesn't mean that you're living a perfect life. It means that you're connected to the one who lived the perfect life, and you're living in a life of repentance every day, and you're yearning and you're striving to please God. Yeah, that's right. And what he says is true. People don't want to repent because of pride. If we confess, that's plausible to all of us. Because if you don't, there's no forgiveness. People don't repent because they're ashamed. They're condemned, and they feel bad that they need it one more time. Man, I keep getting hooked up in this over and over and over. But do you know that when you create this lifestyle of repentance over and over and over, it's okay. You woke up and there was a light. There was light. There was oxygen. You weren't gasping for air. Why? Because that which Christ set into motion at the beginning of creation is still being faithful today. Just like when Christ went to the cross, his faithfulness to forgive is there day in, day out, time after time after time. And one of these times, you're going to get the revelation of who Jesus is and what he did, and now you can. That's what it's about. It's not about you just sitting in it long enough to get it. It's not. It's about God's work for you that's already been done. No matter what the devil is telling you, God is not a liar. And if he says he is faithful to forgive, then spit it out, and spit it out quickly. Did you hear me? Quickly. This is one of the biggest, hardest things. God says that his repentance, look at this, God's kindness to us is intended to lead us to repentance. Do you want to know how the world sees repentance? You better repent. You repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. He's saying repent. Don't you realize God is for you? He's made a way, and all you have to do is spit it out what you did. Confess the wrong. God washes it away. He doesn't cover it. He washes it away and says, now you're made new. Come right back into the kingdom. But we don't. We see it as this negative thing. Repentance is amazing. In our marriage, Randy learned this really quick. So my mom and dad, before we realized that you really shouldn't use your parents as counselors for your marriage, we were really young when we got married. I was 18, 5 days, and Randy was 19 and a half, that matters. But now he's not counting halves. Are you 53 and a half, or are you wanting to hold it 53?
I'm 54
in a few days. Okay, so there we have it. I'm a rounder. I'm just owning it early on. I'm already 55, even though I'm not. Just round on up. It's fine. Anyways, when we got married, we would get into an argument. And buddy, I'm like, Mom, Dad, we got a problem. And I'm on the phone. While I'm on the phone, Randy's in the car, already sitting at their house at the table. You want to know why? Because Randy identified the quicker I get to the source of the counselor and the one who can make it right, the more they're going to hear my story and vindicate me. She's going to be wrong and I'm going to be right. And do you want to know? This is another reason I'm mad Dad died. You know, Mom always takes Randy's side. Always. Yeah, uh-huh. Birds of a feather flock together. That's what they are. I married my mother. And some of you know what you sit yourself down. And some of you know what I'm saying. You marry what you're comfortable with. These two on vacation, Dad and I, we could sit in the same house for a week and never say a word to each other. Just keep reading. I'd look at him and say, "You hungry?" He'd say, "Yeah, let's go get something to eat." Okay. That's it. We don't have to talk at dinner. We don't have to do nothing together. These two. I'm like, "Dad, you left me with them." God knew I could. Amen. Hallelujah. Repentance is an amazing thing. Repentance is not supposed to be timid. It's not like, God, can I come in? I made a mistake. I did it again. It's not meant to be fearful. It's not meant to be shaking. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you, you know this because I grew up in the age where this was just released, but it was Britney Spears. And you can see her in her video and she's all dressed up and she says, "Oops, I did it again. I played with your heart." Right? This is how we should be approaching the throne of God. Oops. I did it again, Lord. And here I am in need of mercy and grace. And you know what he says? "Come on, oopser, get in here." He doesn't, it's not that he wants you to sin. But if you do, you have an advocate. And the second you ask for repentance, there is grace and mercy released. Do you understand that? If you don't ask for forgiveness, you don't get the releasing of the mercy and the grace. Now, you missed something here. The grace is God's favor. So you don't repent, there is no favor from God. You don't repent, his ability to do for you what you can't do for yourself is not released. How many of you want him to do it for you? Come on, then we got to stop working ourselves. Stop thinking that you can be better. Start reading the word and see what God already did through his son for you and I. James 4, 6 through 10. It says, we're not going to read it because we're running out of time, but it says, if we confess, we see here, Lord, that if we confess our sins, but it says he gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. Opposes the proud. Do you realize that if you do not have the doctrine of repentance correct in your mental thinking, that you will get a seared conscience, an evil conscience? This is what it is. The Holy Spirit knocks on your door. He says, "David, don't talk to people like that." And you go, "Oh no, you just don't understand, God. It really made me mad." David, don't talk like that. "I'll repent on Sunday. I'm sure Pastor Nicola brings something up about repentance. She does every week. I'll just," and it's Monday. And you let it sit Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And on Sunday, Pastor Nicole doesn't mention anything that tickles your ear. And you didn't hear what you wanted to hear in order to push the repentance button. You began to sear your conscience and to not believe the word of God and what the word of God said is in you. And what we have is we get a hard-hearted generation that's stiff-necked and stubborn. And you know what that means? Chuck, can I use you as an example? Come up here. Come up here. How many of you have had it? Just sit right here on the step. How many of you have had a child and you hear something come out of their mouth? Is it okay if I smack you just gently?
Yeah.
Okay. And you hear something come out of their mouth and you go, "Stop it." Is there not a parent in here that's done that? All right, why? Because something is coming out of my mouth. But here's what happens. Now, Chuck, don't let your head move. And I want you to rear back at me. Holy Spirit says, Chuck, don't say that. Yeah. Do you see that rear up?
Oh, yeah.
Like the stiff neckness. You know what's happening to you? You're getting conditioned to believe that your actions are justified. Thank you, Chuck. Your actions are justified, and you get to be rebellious and stiff-necked. Now, we happen to have a four-month-old child that's living in our home right now. She has now decided that in her bath time, she doesn't want you pouring water on her. She wants to take the cup and pull it towards her. Well, last night, Randy was just pouring it on her. And all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, she goes, yeah! She just starts screaming. I'm like, we love bath time. We love bath time. What's happening? This child was not getting what she wanted. Now you tell me, a little redhead at 4 months old can tell you, I don't want you pouring water on me like that. I want to do it myself. Give me the bucket. So I told Randy, just give her the bucket. She's going to choke to death because her mouth's open the whole time. She's going to water gore herself. Like, I'm just telling you. And so we couldn't because we knew it wasn't good for her. But the point is your stiff-neckedness will tell you what you think is good for you. The devil tells you that you're justified in the way you act because those people that you treated like that deserved it because they did X, Y, and Z. And then before you know it, you're swallowing the devil's evil behavior. And your conscience and your spirit that hears and knows is getting dulled and dulled and dulled and dulled. Till before long, you believe that that Netflix series that you've been watching with that vulgar language, with those vulgar sex scenes, which is pretty much, I don't know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, almost pornography. What in the world? Stop watching that behavior. You want to know why? Here's what's happening. Here's what's happening. The devil is creating a soil that will receive seed. That's all. That's all he's doing. He's getting you to listen to that vulgar joke at work. He's getting you to think about that lady you or man you shouldn't be thinking about. He's getting you to be angry because all you do is listen to talk radio. Quit listening to it if it makes you angry. If all you're going to do is make sure everyone is not like you and then yell at the ones that aren't, please stop listening to it. You know, Randy and I had this conversation. We listen to radio, talk radio. I'm going to say we because we do. And one day I noticed that he had come into work and he was just fit to be tied. He was ready to strangle somebody already. And I'm like, babe, what made you mad this morning? Night mad. I'm like, babe. No, really, you're a little edgy. I am not edgy. I said, and I didn't think anything about it. I said, okay. I said, well, I'm going to go to work. We'll meet up later on in the day. Believe it or not, Randy and I don't live in the same office around here. I kind of take refuge in mine, and he takes refuge in his. Later on during the day, I came up to him, and I had been in prayer and study, and I came out, and I said, by any chance, were you listening to AM 880 this morning? When you came into work, you said, I always listen to that station. I said, well, you always ought to stop because I think it's making you angry. What did you hear? And then he starts telling me about all the things that's going wrong in this world and how he could fix them. And he was angry. And so I just wrote on my shirt, Randy Waters, president for president of the United States. And he was fine. I'm kidding. Resist the devil. Resist that inability to repent. Resist it. When you resist what the devil's telling you, you should not do, and you just give in to the word of the Lord, he'll begin to work for you. Do not create a soil that evil seed can grow. Now, I'm going to read this to you. I wasn't going to, but I was in a session this Wednesday, and I said, I'm not using this for my message, and I ended up deciding to use it. It says, if you sow a thought, you will reap an act. If you sow an act, you will reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you'll reap a lifestyle. And if you sow a lifestyle, you will reap a destiny. Church, repentance is for every day of our lives. Repentance is for a church that's fallen away, that's forgotten what they had in the beginning. Repentance is for the sinner who's never found Christ. But more than that, only believe. This is a foundational truth. Don't let anyone tell you that you needn't repent because you printed one time. Don't let anyone tell you that you don't have faith in God if you need to repent a second time. That's not true. You're going to find next week that in the Faith in God series, repentance and faith in God work hand in hand. You cannot walk in repentance if you do not believe that Jesus was the one who made it all possible. Amen. Without faith in what God sent, his only son, there is no reason for repentance. If you would, stand to your feet. Early in the message, I said there were two reasons that we need repentance. One is if you have not yet found Christ. If you have lived your life in a way that you've never heard about this gospel. Maybe you've never been invited to a church service before, and this is the time that you show up and you're like, great. This is your day. God knew you would be here this time, this day, this hour, and the exact message that we would be preaching. This world has nothing to offer you. In fact, there's a saying in our household, when things are going wrong and we look towards Christ, we're like, but we know God can fix it. We say, and anyone questions that. Well, you just don't understand, Mom, Dad. You just don't understand what's going on. I'm like, how's what you're doing working? How's it working for you now? Because it's not. Because you're here. God brought you here for a reason. To tell you the way you've been living your life is not working. There is a heaven and there is a hell. You don't get to preach the good part and not know the bad part. And every day that you don't choose to say yes to God is a day that you say yes to the devil. It's one more day that he drives you deeper, takes you further, makes you stay longer, and requires more payment for what you're doing. God's erased that if you'll accept his gift of Christ. All you have to do is say, I want to receive Christ today. I want to. And then there's the other person. We didn't preach repentance of dead works to just draw in a sinner. We brought it in so that all of us would be able to know what pleases God and what does not, and that we could reflect, that we could recognize what's happening in our life, like the church in Ephesus in Revelation, that we would look, that we would consider ourselves, that you would consider your actions, that you would consider your thoughts, that you would consider words that you've given action to, that you've let out of your mouth, and now they're spinning forth seeds of evil. That you would consider it, and then you would turn from it. And you would walk back to the cross and come back to your first love. That you would remember what God did for you. And you would remember that this lifestyle is not pleasing to our Savior. It's not okay that you say, I'm a Christian, and act like that. The Bible told us that we will not. It didn't say some will. It said we will not receive and enter into the kingdom of God. Church, I don't want to not get there. I want to go. I want to receive everything that Christ has for us. All of the fullness. I don't want to fall short. But in order to do that, we must live a life of repentance. So church, I'm going to lead us in a prayer of repentance this morning. And then I'm going to offer it up for anyone that wants to know Jesus. Don't let them leave the back doors. They might use it when all of our eyes are bowed. If you're born again, this prayer is for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, God, with contrite hearts, a humble place. And God, we repent. Holy Spirit, show us in our lives anything that would be a dead work. Show us where we've laid faith down and accepted our own way. Father, forgive us. Teach us. Holy Spirit, just shake me awake and let me see what you see so that I can become everything Christ needs me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is your time. Every eye closed and every head still bowed. If you're in the church today and you're like, Pastor Nicole, I understand what you're saying, and this is me, and today's my day, and I want to accept this Savior that you're talking about. I have fallen away, and I need to come back to Christ. Then now's your time. Yep. Now's your time. Now's your time. Is there anyone else in the house that would say, I need to come to you, God. I need to give my life solely to you. Just slip your hand up. Slip your hand up. We've already got one at the altar, but just slip your hand up and say, yep, you can come. Come. Is there anyone else? Anyone? Yes, come. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Heart. Heart moving towards people. I love it. Thank you, Linda. Thank you. Anyone else? Prayer team's moving about, looking. All right. Linda, you pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I come back home to you. I choose to believe all of the Bible. I receive it today in my heart and my mind. Doubt? Go in Jesus' name. I am saved. And because Christ did, I can. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Pleases God's heart, Linda. Pleases God's heart. For love. Praise you, Jesus. All right, church. Praise the Lord. We're going to bring up our prayer team at this time in the service. And as Pastor Randy had mentioned earlier before, this is such a crucial part of our service, because this is where the elders of the church, people with faith, people that have been tried and true, people that have walked through some hard things in life, know how to pray for you and what you're going through. If there's something maybe that we didn't mention today, a sickness in your body, maybe you have a procedure this week. I've already prayed with one. You have a procedure this week that maybe is being done for you. We want to pray. We want to pray with you today and support you and love you. In the meantime, we will see you on Wednesday. What? Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, don't forget Mother's Day next week. Pastor Randy was reminding me. Mother's Day, we're going to take a break on the six basic doctrines, and we're going to come back after Mother's Day and our debt celebration. Amen? And then we're going to come back and pick right back up on faith in God and why you need it and you can't live without it and why we need to build on this foundation. Amen? Moms, I encourage you, don't just take Sunday. Start working for the whole week. Just letting you know. You know they have birthday weeks, birthday months. Well, so does Mother's Day, except Mom. I won't be here Monday through Thursday, but Friday we can pick up. Come on, girls, work this for all of its worth, mothers. You gave a lot to birth those babies, amen? And raise them and keep raising them and still keep raising them, right? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you today. And God, we count it an honor to be in your service today. God, that we get to hear the word, that we get to grow in our faith. And God, I just ask you that you would be with everyone this week. God, as they go in and about moving, Father, speak to us about someone to invite. Speak to us, Father, about where to go and what to do and who to say it to. God, that we could answer the Great Commission and go into our worlds and preach the gospel to everyone, that they would hear about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Church, we love you. Those of you wanting to do Growth Track, I will meet you in room 306.